Welcome, everyone. Being close. Can you hear me okay? Good. Welcome to newcomers. Back online, we did a retreat last week and it was very nice to be with people together. So gonna do more of those. And by the way, Claire, I'm coming to California in April and I'm gonna be doing a day. So anyway, I'll keep you guys posted as well. And welcome, welcome. Settle in. Hi, Annie. So just make sure your bodies are comfortable enough. And for new people, we're going to share a meditation and then there'll be a bit of time to talk. So when you're ready, allow your eyes to close. Give yourself permission not to do anything, not to know anything. Resting together, we've come together, so that helps create a field that's permeated with a certain intention, and so that helps to not do anything. And to not know anything. Of course, we can't make ourselves not do, not know, but we can abdicate knowing as it arises. Just put it down on the altar. Same with doing, anytime the impulse to direct your attention, to think, to whatever. When you're sitting quietly, it's not like there's all that much of a range of doing, but definitely there's the possibility of thinking. So abdicating that impulse, if it arises, too lazy to do anything, too lazy to know anything. And of course, when we sort of abdicate doing and knowing, feeling comes into the foreground. And maybe also the silence or the field of presence in which everything unfolds also makes itself known. So nothing, so feeling, sensing, and not referring the feeling and sensing to knowledge, but to any kind of organizing activity, and therefore feeling and sensing refer directly to the open field. Just let feelings, sensations, tensions, breath, everything that's not a thought, just let it rise alongside the sound of this voice. Let it do what it does. No need to translate it into thought. No translators. And include in your sensing and feeling the sensation of thinking. It has a tactile quality in the head area, the sort of pulsation of thinking. Let that be tasted completely. So we're not sort of suppressing anything. So I did suggest that we abdicate doing and knowing, but then we completely allow the moment by moment flow of feelings, tensions, temperature, sound, the sensation of weight, the textures, and of course, emotions might also become more intense because suddenly they're not being micromanaged by knowing or by referring to the past or by pushing away or defending all the things that we inevitably do as humans. With our feelings and emotions, especially the ones that have labels such as fear or anxiety or anger or grief or confusion. So allowing emotions to surface as they should. That's what they're meant to do, these emotions. They have a wave-like quality. Hello, body. Hello, feelings. Hello, sound of Ellen's voice. Hello, breath. The mind always needs to do something with experience. Thinking, it's like a bunch of bureaucrats up there in the head area that need to organize experience according to conditioning, I guess, beliefs, past trauma. But we've come down into the realm where feelings and emotions are just allowed as raw intensities. Nothing to do with, nothing to do with whatever arises. Rather, be with. Be with experience fresh. And you might wonder, well, which experience am I with fresh? Am I choosing the breath? Am I choosing the intensity in my belly, the tension in my jaw and shoulders? You could have a walk around. You're not looking for anything, and you're not walking around with any mission. You're not colonizing your experience, you're not converting it. You're curious, but not curious in a mental way, curious in a tactile way, or maybe curious in a heartful way. I want to know you, is the attitude. I want to know you, body. I want to know you, belly, breath, tension in the shoulders, grief in the throat. I want to listen to your song the way I would listen to bird song in the jungle. You wouldn't attempt to catch the bird in the jungle or the wild animal. That you would be intensely alert, all your senses. This is sort of the same here, intensely with the jungle of the body. And now sense your body in its globality, as if it was one creature, not a multiplicity of sensations, and ripples and textures, but one global mass amorphous. Including your breath. And feel this mass called the body is free to move, to undulate, to expand, to contract. It's free to be tense in places and relaxed in others. And feel that this mass, this sort of mass of energy, of temperature, sensation, feel that it's intimately connected with its environment. So perhaps you feel where there's touch, contact with the earth, where the pelvis and the hips and thighs and knees and calves and ankles and feet. But don't let the words constellate an image, just a raw sensation of touch. Can you abdicate any memory of what that is? And let that come to life. Body earth. If the earth feels hard, it's just a defensive projection of the mind. And it's very natural, so there's no judgment, but just stay with the intensity of the place where the body surrenders its weight into gravity. The body was never separated from earth, space. Feel the rest of the body. Feel the quality of warmth, temperature, and it penetrates the space beyond the body. Just naturally, you don't have to do it. I don't live in the envelope of a fixed body. I'm not quite sure where I live. Not quite sure. But if I abdicate any belief that I need to defend myself or assert myself, and if I'm just with a raw aliveness, can I just completely open the body? Let it expand into the space beyond. Let it release the weight in all directions. Shoulders, yes. Feel those two tight balls called the shoulders. Can they drop down through the arms? I don't live in the body. At least I don't live in the conceptual body, the body of memory, I live as this dance of sensation, and I don't really know where the borders are, what the shape is. Of course, there are lots of thoughts about that, but if I refer to my direct experience, I don't know any of it. Don't know what gender, I don't know what age. I do know intensity, aliveness. Hello, body. You're welcome. Feel your face. Wash your face with the openness all around. What mask are you wearing in this moment? No judging, just tasting the mask of assertion, of defense. Of boredom, of whatever, it doesn't matter. Can you surrender the mask and listen to the tactility of the face? Let the face come alive. Let it lose its symmetry, let it lose its balance. How many eyes do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4. Let your face become more like a cubist painting. I don't live behind the face right now. I live, again, not quite sure, but this face is dancing sensations, tensions in me. Feel the forehead, the eyeballs, the eye cavities, the temples, the cheeks, the lips. You don't have to direct your attention towards these sensations, just let them come to life. As if you call their name and they come to life. Lips, upper lip, lower lip. You let the name fade and the sensation rise. Ears, left ear, right ear. Lots of little bubbles of tension, pulsations. No reason, we're not looking for anything. We're not going to change anything. It's that jungle, that walk in the jungle. And again, the shoulders. Lots of sensations in the shoulders. Left shoulder, let it come to life, calling it, welcoming it, pointing it to its habitat, which is openness itself. Right shoulder, right shoulder. Yes. And the breath. How does the breath connect with the shoulders? What does it bring to this sensation of the shoulders, the in-breath? The out-breath. Feel your hands wherever they are resting, palms down. Feel the warmth, the heat of the palms penetrating the legs or whatever. Just listening there. Dropping, opening the wrists, opening the elbows. I don't live in the arms and the hands and the shoulders. They are flowing rivers. Rivers that flow down, down, down through the palms of the hands into the ocean, which is me. I'm the ocean. And now feel the legs. It's the same with the legs. Hips, thighs, knees, calves, ankles, heels, soles, toes, arches. Hello, legs. Is there space in the hips? Left hip, left hip. Feel the tension there, the tightness. Thigh glued to pelvis, fear, clenching, holding. Hello, left hip. Can I relax? Can I don't know. Maybe can I pet my hip as if it was a frightened animal? Relax. And the right. And the knees, what is a knee? Is it a ball of density? Does it move? Does it pulsate? Left knee, right knee. Does it have a color? Is there space between the kneecap and the back of the knee? The questions, don't answer them with your mind. Just let the body enjoy the attention, the knees feeling, oh, somebody's finally paying attention to me, to us. We've been holding so much crap for so long. Can we complain for a bit, please? And you just listen, feel. Because let's be honest, when we listen to the body like this to begin with, well, it's a lot of complaining and lots of noise, lots of sounds and a cacophony. This poor body, I mean, it's constantly being subjugated to pushing down, holding in, having to sort of hold things that don't get a full chance to move out. Well, you know what I mean. So when we begin to listen to it like this without any agenda and without referring to a story, well, there's lots going on. I guess a bit like walking into the Amazon forest. Must be very loud. Hello, body. Feel the whole front of the torso and from the pubic bone, a sort of rising, very, very sensual. Don't do anything mechanical, but feel as if a hand was caressing the whole front of your body from the pubic bone up, caressing your abdomen, your flanks, your middle torso, gently caressing the solar plexus, the heart area, caressing your breasts, top of your chest, your throat. And again, feel that line of energy, very tactile from the pubic bone. It's like a little line of caressing energy rising. Your whole front torso caressing the space in front. Sort of coming to life for the space in front so that it's rising and it's spreading. Breast, left breast to the left, right breast to the right, opening the torso. Long in breath, long out breath. Don't think your way into this. Feel, always feel. And in a way, wait for the feeling to come to you. What happened in the hips, the legs, the earth? Are they still connected, or are they fighting again? What about the shoulders? Is there a micro rising of the shoulders? What for? Who needs a shoulder right now? Hello, body. You can go. I don't need you to serve me. I'm free. Two, you're free. I'm free. In fact, we're not separate, but now feel the warm water that's flowing down along the back of the body, warm water flowing down the back of the head, the back of the shoulders, caressing the back of the back, waist, buttocks, warm water, relaxing the whole back body down, down. And the front of the body caressing the space in front and moving up. And the breath is free and nothing needs to happen. If none of this happens, it's perfectly okay. Whatever is being experienced is correct, including unpleasantness, difficulty, tension. No need to relax tension. Tension and relaxation are appearing in this listening presence. No preference. Now let your body move. Just place your body in a current, in a river of currents, and just let the body be moved by the current so that you don't have to decide what the movement will be moment by moment. The spine, the head, the arms can move off the lap. If the current takes an arm or another or both, just you have no inhibition. Eyes are closed, nobody's looking, there's no right or wrong. Fingertips alive, breath is free breath and currents of movement, or know very well how to dance with one another. Shoulders are moving. Feel your hands are touching the space, very alive. If they're moving out into the space, pushing the space, texture of the space, temperature. Trusting whatever arises, the quality of the movement, the rhythm of the movement. Maybe there's a shaking or a undulating, or even a stretching. If there's a stretching, make sure that the mover, the mechanical mover, doesn't settle in. Keep surrendering the body to a flow that is not directed by a personal mover. Feel that your hips can move, your pelvis against your seat. Legs might want to stretch if you're sitting on a chair, or even if you're sitting on a cushion, you might want to stand for a bit, but whatever feels right. There's a sound, you let the sound come. If there's a gesture with the hands, you trust that knowledge in the hands, fingers. They know how to comb things. They know how to shape the invisible. You know, you can step back and just feel this happening in you. You're the sky, and the clouds are morphing and dancing in you. And or you can feel yourself to be the wind that moves the body. Or you can feel yourself to be the body moved by the winds in the sky. Doesn't really matter. And if you want, you can feel like the separate person expressing something highly intimate and personal. And you allow that to be tasted. Suddenly you're Ellen, Carlo, Kyra, Jean Marie, whoever, with your story, but you're dancing your story, shaping it, expressing it with your body. And then again, let the person dissolve, just the raw flowing river of the body. And slowly, slowly let that dance come back to stillness without doing it. Be the stillness. Let the body come back to you. Slow. The arms, the spine, the head, the hands, the breath. Everything settling in you. So there's still a bit of movement, of course, the movement of the breath, the movement of the weight of the shoulders and legs as they continue to drop. But feel the stillness. Or maybe let's say feel the peace of you. Let that extend as far as in fact, let it have no borders, this peace in which the sound of my voice rises, in which the body dissolves. Surrendering. No, maybe it's no longer surrendering, it's more like welcoming the ripples in your borderlessness. Really allowing yourself to feel this quality of no borders. And then maybe suddenly you feel back, you feel drawn back into a border. Suddenly you're back with a feeling of living behind the face, of having a border. So when that happens, just shine a light, a tactile light on the so-called border. The border of the forehead, of the jaw, of the mouth. Let it completely come to the surface, this border, as a sensation, of course. And really see for yourself that this so-called border is very alive, a sensation, a perception that is being perceived by you. So it's not bordering you in any way. And then off you go again. You just take off into the borderlessness. And you might, you know, really begin to notice how the feeling of me, a bordered me, a limited me, the feeling of being located, all these very habitual feelings, you might begin to see how it works, how it has a sort of magnetic and sticky quality, the belief, the me feeling, the me, the body feeling. It sort of draws you back into its snare. And I don't mean to make it negative. I don't think it is negative. It's innocent. But you don't have to believe what it's selling. So if you're finding yourself pulled back into a localization in the body, that feels very me, very intimate, very, very, very me, very limited. Just really shine that light on it. Get to know it. Excavate it. The reason it's got so much power over our sense of identity is because it's sort of not fully seen for what it is. It's in semi-obscurity, this me, the body feeling. But when we really shine a light on it, really taste it, really have a look, is there anybody living there? Do I really live in that feeling in my belly or in my whatever, behind my eyes. In the intense emotion in my heart, in my throat. Or is it not rather that it lives in me? Which it doesn't make the thing go away, but rather it liberates it. Suddenly the grief, the fear, the ripple of intensity that seems so me-like is just a wave of life, and the me that was maybe hidden within it has returned to the real me. It's like the me charge, like a battery. The me charge has gone back to the real me of awareness. I mean, what I've just sort of talked us through is a sort of self-inquiry at the level of the body. It can be helpful. To just establish who's who. And then it allows things to come back to life, because if that feeling in the chest is not me, doesn't limit me, doesn't encapsulate me, doesn't define me, doesn't all those things, then suddenly things are in their proper relationship. I am what I am. I am that which perceives, and that perception is innocent and free and can move, can continue its trajectory. Doesn't mean that the body's going to disappear, that, you know, some feelings will linger maybe for the whole of our lives. Because the habit of conditioning, of feeling me, the body, of feeling fear, it's not going to go away completely, or nor is it meant to be, nor is it meant to go away. I don't think. But I think it's like we can come here to gatherings like that and take a big bath. Give the body a big bath of openness and remember the body to its innocence. And taste our borderlessness. Taste the peace of our true nature. I'm just feeling the coming and the going of the breath. The breath is perhaps the sensation with which we most identify. Definitely a big me the breath feeling. Because it's the, you know, it's the thing that, the first thing and the last thing from the point of view of the body mind. Well, at least from the point of view of the body, I don't know about the mind. So in this moment, the coming and the going of the breath, be open to the breath arising in me the borderlessness. The in-breath, the rest, the out-breath, the rest. Like a wave arising out of nowhere. Taking itself back to where it came from. Too lazy to breathe, just the breath. You just taste, follow the out breath all the way to its dissolution, the rest at the bottom. The next breath arising fresh, no pulling. The rest. And of course, there will be pulling and pushing and grasping and fear. So be very, very gentle welcoming of these layers of me, the breather. Become acquainted. With those tactile layers, just listening to them. Not getting rid of anything and then just coming back to the possibility of the breath, free of a breather. A breath, the breath, the invisible breather's breath. Feel it, the breath is like a swing. And to begin with, you're pushing the swing with the in-breath. The swing goes one way. With the out-breath, it comes back. But now you're not pushing the swing. Just letting the breath purify itself of any impulse. No impulse to breathe. Very subtle breath. Now don't do anything, no attention to anything in particular, just abiding. Abiding as this moment. Let's take 5 minutes and come back. Thank you. Thank you for following my meditation. See you in a few minutes. Welcome back. Hi, Neil and Brandon.
Hi there.
So if anybody would like to ask anything or share anything. Hi, Jan Marie. I'm saying hi to all the people who are on my retreat. Wish everybody had been there. Yeah, so feel free. Maybe wave or just unmute yourselves. See a little boy. I do remember that little boy.
I just want to share, it's Rubina here.
Hi, Rubina.
Hi.
Is it your first time? You've been before, haven't you?
Yes, I've been to your meditation on Wednesday before.
Okay, the quiet one.
That's right, yeah. I just found it very powerful when you, during the meditation, when you talked about connecting with your emotions. And at one point you mentioned you're aware of the grief in your throat. And I just found myself being overwhelmed with grief at that moment. And tears actually flowed just automatically. But in some ways, it was very natural. It was very peaceful, even though it was also painful, but there was a release, which I thought was really powerful.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, it speaks for itself, you know. There's really, that's it. When an emotion is allowed to flow, it grief flows, tears come, and sometimes to begin with, we know what the grief is about. There's somebody grieving something or someone, but sometimes it's sort of just grief that's been carried.
Yes.
And just suddenly it's beautiful. Yeah. And you say it was so painful but peaceful. You know, I know. Yeah. I think we probably all know that. And so go ahead. What were you going to say, Rubina?
I think it was just lovely to be able to allow it to be experienced.
And it sounds like it almost took you by surprise. Like you heard throat grief, and suddenly all it took for that little animal body to feel that it was okay to let go.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you. Lynn, are you trying to say something? We can't hear you, but I think you've unmuted yourself. Well, you might want to look in your settings, audio settings. No. If you want, if your question, you can always type your question in the chat box if you want. If you go into preferences, sometimes the audio, one of your volumes might be all the way down.
That's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay, there you are. We hear you now.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I just wanted to say hello. I'm meeting you for the first time. And there's so much real love in your voice. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and how much you're teaching me. You're speaking to the body. I'm so disconnected for so many years. And thank you. I'll be back.
Where are you calling from then?
Atlanta, Georgia, in the U.S. Okay.
And how did you come?
I don't know. I mean, I recognize people here from Rupert and maybe also Francis.
Okay. Well,
and I've been watching you and
welcome and come back and take, you know, we're all disconnected from our bodies one way or the other, sort of in a big way. So it takes courage, I think, to come back to your body in the context of this bigger understanding.
I spent so many years not just disconnected, but really thinking I hated my body. And I didn't understand the connection. I think I've been really angry about being in a body since I was very young, I'm pretty sure, actually. And a lot of pushing away.
Well, I think it's because we inherited these spiritual ideas that the body, you know, got, the body was sort of a mistake. It's not spiritual. But once you understand, and I think maybe that's what brings you here.
Yeah.
The body is God. And so, you know, and maybe in particular the body of hate, the body of sadness and grief. And, you know, maybe that is God, you know, trying to sort of, in other words, the path of immanence, not the path of transcendence, you know, to really.
Right.
Your body is God. Or whatever. Forget my blah, blah, blah.
No, no, you're saying, no, you're exactly right. And that I think I've been angry that
that nobody told you.
That nobody told me, that I was told that I was not a good body, that I knew.
I know
I knew this body was supposed to be experienced as God, and I couldn't break through. And so,
well, it's,
I was angry about having to be here and not in the proper relationship.
Yeah, no, I get it. But and anger sounds like a really good place to start in your case. Because anger, after all, is a feeling, you know, that's very intensely tactile.
That's the thought and emotion that comes up when I think about, when I go back as far as I can think, as far as my struggle with being in a body.
Often behind anger, there are other layers.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. I've I've cried oceans and done therapy, and there's always more.
Yeah. Well, I hope
you know what's interesting. The thing that is not covered in therapy, or wasn't for me, was anger. And I kept saying, but I'm so angry. Why can't you talk to me about anger and what it is? And why aren't I allowed to express it? You know,
that, I'm not sure.
I went through years of therapy without integrating. Gosh. So maybe I need to see you too. I don't hate myself anymore, but I also feel still disconnected. So,
well, one step at a time, Lynn, because
and I've had a huge glimpse. The pushing away was the huge fuel that freed me, and to know that I'm not the body. But now I need to deal with the body. So strange.
Well, I mean, maybe the body's calling, but maybe don't hold on to that idea that you've been disconnected from the body. All those ideas, there's truth to them. But when you come here, if you come back, come fresh and...
good point.
With a kindness, you know, just a kindness, just a simple kindness towards...
That's what I'm here learning from you. That's what I heard in your voice. I've never... heard that.
Yeah.
I've never felt that. Thank you so much. It was very beautiful.
Well, because you recognize something that's yours, you know.
I know.
Big hug.
Thanks.
Hi, Ellen. It's Christiane.
Hi, Christiane.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, has been a long time, and there are more people. It's really nice to see. I wanted to share something, even though I didn't want to talk, but I got conscious about something which is really important for me during all this wonderful meditation, that I have certain parts of my body which hurt, and repeatedly since a very, very long time. And I suddenly noticed that, while I was following your voice, I noticed that I felt the pain, and it went on going, oh, you should do this kind of exercise because you should do that, or you should something. And then I noticed, why am I having these thoughts? Must be because I don't want this pain. And then I realized, well, if I want to get rid of it, I first have to accept that, even though it's really old and it's coming again and again. And that was so important for me to realize that it's because I can feel my body floating, and it's like very normal to me. And suddenly, because of me noticing that I could feel the pain floating as well. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, oh, you're always there and I should do something to get rid of you. And it's so good for me to just have realized that this is not the way I want to welcome it first. And yeah. And then I could feel the floating, and it's just like, it's so good. So,
you know, what you really welcomed was the violence, that part that wanted something else to be. That's what you actually welcomed. Because that's really what creates the unpleasantness. It's not the actual sensation, it's the resistance.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a real aha moment when you have that insight.
It was an aha. It was something I knew before, but it was an aha moment because they're like two parts which have been there so long. So I got so used to it. Oh, now here you again. Am I not coming over this? And why is it always with me? And just like all this complaining, but in this chatter way, you know, in this common used way of 40 years or even 50 years. And suddenly, oh no, this is not the way I'm living right now. So I don't need to do that anymore. Mm. That was really good. Yeah.
Nice. No comment. Great. Well done.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again too.
Yeah. Nice to see you again too.
There's so much to say, but I don't feel drawn. But I just the words that come is nonviolence and kindness. And it seems like Lynn responded to the kindness in my voice. And you, Christine, it was Christiane or Christine? Christiane. You sort of caught yourself being violent, you know, with those thoughts. And then suddenly it switched. And it's not something you did. It, that's what the beauty of it is. It's sort of revealed in the moment. It's hard to put into words, in fact, this whole process, because the agent is not the person. The agent is love. So, or the agent is whatever you want to call that force that. I don't know, you know what, before the meditation, I did talk a lot during the meditation, but before I was like, I don't understand any of this. Yes, Helen.
I just, like the other lady, I just want to say hello, because hello. This is my first real-time experience of you. I've listened to you online a lot and got an awful lot from that. And the gentleness of your, not just your voice, but your vocabulary, the subtlety of it, I just find incredibly beautiful. And it's even more so in real time, because I can't even explain why that is, but it is. Mm-hmm. So I really want to say thank you, and I will be back in real time.
Maybe you'll come to a retreat one day, and that will be in real body.
I'd love to. I saw the retreat when it came up, and I thought, oh, I don't feel I'm kind of connected enough already to go to the retreat, but maybe if there's another one, I'd love to. Yeah. And I just am very just amazed by the subtlety of the language that you use, and how it speaks to the body, to the being, to everything. And yes, the subtle layers of violence that we have in these between the layers of our awareness, they get beautifully just caught in the softness of those words every time, and it's exquisite. I've never come across anything like it, and it's a beautiful fit. I don't know if you know.
I feel very seen, you know, like I don't know what to say, but because it's, you know, I don't know what to say, but
no,
I,
of course,
I, in a way, you're doing the same that I'm doing by reflecting it back to me. And I learned to do it. It didn't just, and I think we can all do it by just by being ever so close to our moment by moment tactile experience. And that's what I'm now better than I used to be able to convey with my words and my voice. And sometimes it doesn't, it's not. Sometimes there are moments where I'm like I'm shifted into my head and it's immediately palpable. I can feel it and I know you all feel it. And, you know, I'm doing my best. But so I, you know, the quality of your listening, Helen, is obviously very subtle and delicate.
Thank you. And all the years that you've spent feeling into those subtleties have created your ability to speak it. Which is a wonderful use of it. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Nice to meet you. Or you're in England. You have an English accent, so you must be in England somewhere.
I'm in Gloucestershire, not that far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Maria Rosa.
Nice to see you and nice to see so many familiar faces.
Yeah, it's been a while we haven't seen you.
It's nice. It's nice to be here with everybody. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming and for your boys, just as mischievous as ever.
The mischievous, yes. See you again soon.
See you soon, yeah. I think, Coco, do you have a poem for us tonight, Corina? Where are you? Can't see Coco. Is she gone? No, there she is. Hi, Coco.
Ellen, I was going to send you this poem for your happy birthday tomorrow, but I think I'll share it here. It's. I think it's called for. I know you've seen it before, but it's just right, I think. It's called Poem for My Daughter by Teddy Macker. And his daughter's name just happens to be Ellie. Poem for My Daughter. It seems we have made pain some kind of mistake, like having it is somehow wrong. Don't let them fool you. Pain is a part of things. But remember, dear Ellie, the compost down the field. If the rank and dank and dark are handled well, not merely discarded, but turned and known and honored, they one day come to beds of rich earth, home even to the most delicate rose. God comes to you disguised as your life. Blessings often arrive as trouble. In French, the word blesser means to wound and relates to the old English blessen, to sprinkle with blood. And in Sanskrit, there is a phrase to carry with you wherever you go. Sarvam annam. Everything is food. Every last thing. The Navajo people, it is said, intentionally wove obvious flaws into their sacred quilts. Why? It is there, they say, in the mistake, in the imperfection through which the Great Spirit moves. Life is easy, yes, and life is hard. Life is simple, yes, and life is complex. We are tough, yes, but we are also fragile. Everything's eternally perfect, but help out if you can. Work on becoming a native of mind, a native of heart. No thought, no feeling could ever be bad. It's just another creature, and the bestiary of Buddha, the bestiary of Christ. Knowing this down to the marrow, could save you, darling. Much needless strife. Remember that wild and strange animals pause to drink at the pond of the Buddha's mind, even after he saw the morning star. Mm. No matter what you do, no matter what happens, it is impossible to leave the path. Let me say that one more time. No matter what you do, no matter what happens, it is impossible to leave the path. Believe it or not, dear Ellie, some folks carefully imagine hideous gods tearing at flesh, clawing at faces, eating human hearts, and drinking cups of blood. Why? To shake hands with the whole catastrophe, to cultivate the noble idiot, yes. According to their tradition, there are 84,000 skillful means, 84,000 tactics of wakefulness, 84,000 ways to become spaciously alive, 84,000 ways to be at home in your life and in this world. And many of those skillful means are like this one, enlightenment through endarkenment. Life appears to be fundamentally ambiguous, wily, ever-colored, unpindownable. For evidence of this, spend time with trees. Over and over they say, there is no final word. And big decisions, decisions concerning relationships, concerning children, concerning death, are rarely made cleanly. In general, be wary, even if just a little, of talks of purity, of goodness, of light. To love everything, not just parts, to love all of yourself, not just certain traits, to rest in not knowing, to carry the cross, to lay your burden down, to savor the medicine blue of moon, the fierce sugar of tangerine, to be a Christ unto others, a Christ unto oneself, to laugh, to be shameless, wild, and silly, to know fully, headlong, without compunction, the ordinary magic of our beautiful human bodies. These seem worthwhile pursuits, lifelong tasks. By way of valediction, dear Ellie, I pass along some words from our many gracious teachers. Eden is, the imperfect is our paradise. All is grace.
That's an amazing poem. I feel blessed by it. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you so much, everyone. Be well, and you can unmute yourselves if you want to say hello, goodbye. That was an amazing poem, Corinne, and I'll be sending it to each one of us.
Oh, I hope you were recording.
Yes, I am.
So performance, the expression was amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Love you, love you, love you. Happy birthday. Thank you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Happy birthday, Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you, Coco.
Beautiful Coco.
Thank you, Coco. Thank you.
You're such a blessing.
And hi to everyone who's Rose and Christine and Magdalene, Matti and Charlie. Hi, Charlie with the red hair. And Janet and Daniel, Carlo, Claire, Brendan, Neil, Jenny in the dark. Hi, Kyra. Nice to have you with us. Who am I? Beverly and Mary Chicolella. Claire. All right. See you next time, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Ciao.
Ciao, ciao, Maria.
Ciao, Ika.
See you tomorrow.